When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now late. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now, I want to speak to you about how to pray for God's blessing. How to pray for God's blessing. Now, frequent mention in the Bible has to do with the blessing of God. We read about the blessing in the Old Testament. We read about the blessing in the New Testament. What is a blessing? We're always asking God to bless things. God bless this food. God bless the missionaries. God, this one was one that always gets me. God bless all those whom it's my honor, duty, and privilege to pray for. I've always wondered who those folks were. I've heard that so often, you know. And God bless my family. God bless me, or God bless you. Now, what is a blessing? What is a blessing? Some time ago, before preaching this message at church, I decided to find out what our staff thought a blessing was. It's very interesting how all the various spiritual gifts come out. You know, you ask Joe McKinney what a blessing is, he'll say it's a gem. I ask Ruffin Snow what a blessing was, you know, after he joked around and said it's 10 more buses, he said, "Well, a blessing is when God does something good for you." And that's pretty neat, you know. I asked Ralph Spees, our local Greek scholar. Ralph said, "Ah, blessing." He said the Greek word for that is Makarios. He said the word Makarios was used to describe the island of Cyprus back in the days of Jesus, from which there needed no food to go out nor to come into, no import, no export, because it was totally self-sufficient. It's the word that's used frequently in the Bible, especially and more notably in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and we call this the Beatitudes. And it's a blessing that it's a joy that's based upon a relationship and not on a possession. And I said, "Okay, you know, for me, I'm just an old dumb preacher, Brother Ralph. Tell me what a blessing is. He said, "Well, it's when God does something good for you," which I thought was, getting right down there to simple layman's terms, you know. Basically, as I checked around, this is what most folks said. Now, he didn't quite go on like that, but this is what most folks' interpretation of a blessing is, when God does something good for you. But that really misses the mark, folks. That really misses the mark. You see, a blessing, and this is as good a definition, I guess, as we can use here. A blessing is a sovereign act of God by which he causes someone or something to supernaturally produce more than would be naturally possible. Let me say it again so you can write it down. A blessing is a sovereign act of God by which he causes someone or something to supernaturally produce more than would be naturally possible. I'm going to repeat that in just a few moments so you can get the last of it. But think about it. Now, when you say, "Lord, bless those missionaries," what are you saying? "Lord, I'm praying that out there today, that missionary friend of mine will, as a sovereign act of the mighty God, supernaturally be empowered to accomplish more than would ever naturally be possible." You see, that's what you're saying. "And Lord, as I pray your blessings on this food," you know, I have talked with some of these men who are prisoners of war. And did you know that on the Maine, an individual could not live on that which they were fed many times? I mean, couldn't live. Just couldn't live, would die on that which they were fed. And you say, "Well, how did some of these guys live?" Some have shared this. They're convinced that it was only as they said, "Okay, Lord, bless this water and whatever is with it. bless it so that it will supernaturally produce in me more than would be naturally possible. Just bless it, you see. And thus would stay alive for years and years and years, you see. And so when you ask God to bless something or something, Lord, bless this offering. What are you saying, Lord? We just pray your blessings on this offering. We're saying, Lord, we're praying that you would so allow us to be the custodian of this and so move through it that it would supernaturally accomplish more than would be naturally possible. Naturally, this looks like $10. Supernaturally, this may do $20 worth of witnessing. $50 worth of witnessing. Bless it. By the way, that's the reason I believe your local church is the best investment. The best investment for your money. Because you get more back than what the world can buy. You see? Supernaturally accomplish more than would be naturally possible. Okay, so a blessing is, that's an important thing. Now, if we lose our blessing, if we lose the ability to be a blessing, if we lose the ability to pray for a blessing, then we've really lost our right to do business on this corner. Because that which distinguishes us from the rest of the world is that we do have the blessing of God's presence. And that God supernaturally, moment by moment, does things in our lives that causes the world to sit back, take notice, fold their arms and say, I cannot explain it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work out. I tried to figure that out on paper. I don't see how they could do it. I don't see how it works, but it's happening. I can't understand it, but it's happening. It defies every natural law, but it's working, you see. Then you see you're a witness to a blessing. Now, what are some things we need to know about a blessing? I want to suggest several of them to you. First of all, I want to suggest to you that God's blessing in your life is not limited by the size of your need. God's blessing is not limited by the size of your need. Now, we have an interesting experience here. Jesus is out in the wilderness area, the desert, late in the evening. All the 7-Elevens are closed, and the people are still with him, listening to him. And so Jesus turns to disciples who should have been adequately prepared to take care of everything. And he says to them, give them to eat. And they said to him, oh, we don't have anything. And he said, what do you mean you don't have anything? Well, he said, well, checking around, we just have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, the Bible says there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So we're talking about, conservatively, 13 to 15,000 people. Oh, and 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Right? Now, that's just conservatively we're talking about that. And so that's a big need. Would you say that was a big need? In the light of the resources available, 13,000 people? All right, it's a big need. Now, let me ask you a question. How many times have you been sort of checking around, you know, getting ready to pray about something or pray for something or for someone, and all of a sudden it has occurred to you that that for which you're praying is really not the right size for God? It's either too big for him or it's too little for him. I've never had the devil come to me and say, hey, Tom, you know, you are finally on to God's size of a problem. I mean, that's exactly right. I've seen God handle that size problems many times before. He is an expert at that size problems. Now, if you go beyond that, you add a few zeros to that, that's out of God's ball game. If you take away a few zeros, that's too small. You could do that yourself. But this one is just God's size. You know, the devil's never said that to me. All of my problems have been so little that I thought I ought to handle them myself and not bother God, or so big that I knew it would be impossible for even God to tackle it. I mean, it'd be absolutely ridiculous. How in the world is God going to handle that? I cannot dream of it, you see. Now, sometimes we have the impression that our need is so big God can't do anything about it. You know, here we are as a church, for instance. We're facing a need, say, over the next year or two, millions of dollars. I don't mean like $1 million. I'm talking about $2 million or $3 million or $4 million. And we talk about just needs, just building a building on that corner and getting additional space. We're talking millions of dollars. Okay, here we are. You know what? 4,386 church members. Okay? Not a very big church on our membership rolls for a church that runs as many as we do in Sunday school. But there we are, you know. Okay, now, Lord, how? That's a little bit too big for you. Maybe, maybe we ought to check some, you know, maybe we ought to get out of the church business and go into some other kind of business. Because, you know, that just is too enormous. That's too big. On the other hand, turn around to a personal problem you have, you know. You're saying, Lord, I've got a need here. It's just a personal habit. It's just a bad habit. I know I just grit my teeth. It's such a small thing. I'm sorry to even bother you with this. So little. You know, we have a tendency to believe that the size of the need is either too small or too large for God. God's blessing is not limited by the size of the need. No matter how big or how small the issue of your life, God's interested in getting in the middle of it, okay? Secondly, God's blessing is not limited by the cause of your need. Now here is where the devil really has a heyday. You know why the disciples didn't have the five loaves, didn't have the loaves and the fish that they needed? Because they had goofed. That's right. I mean, from the scripture, Jesus just sort of naturally turned to them and said, okay, guys. You know, it's like asking Johnny Harden or something, okay, we're ready to eat. They said, ready to eat? Yeah. I mean, look, it's supper time. This is a desert place. These people, you don't expect for us just to send them home hungry, do they? Some of them got to walk miles before they get home. This is out here in the wilderness. Yeah, feed them. I'm ready. What'd you guys bring? Peter looked at James. James looked at John. John looked at Judas. Judas looked in the bag. And then finally somebody had the bright idea. They said, explain to the Lord what the situation is. Lord, this is a desert place. Lord, all the stores are closed. Lord, you didn't really make it clear that we were responsible for the logistical planning for this great crusade. Lord, we really don't have a whole lot, you see. Their stupidity really is what got them into the jam. How many times have you gotten into a real bad problem and you've been embarrassed to pray about it because it was your fault? Huh? Oh, man, hey, this is my fault. Let me ask you a question. How often do you get in problems that aren't your fault? You don't do much praying, do you? You only pray about things that aren't your fault. You must not do too much praying. You see how the devil gets us over a barrel? Uh-huh, you caused it. You know, what does it say? Here's a great piece of the devil's theology. The Lord helps those who what? Oh, isn't that wonderful? It's a lie, but it's wonderful. The Lord doesn't want to help you. He wants to help himself to you. Really? He wants you, you see. And so God's blessing is not limited by the cause of your need. I cannot tell you how often I have knelt before the Lord and said, Lord, I know that it has been my stupidity that as a pastor that has brought us to this point. Here we are walking around, as that song says, Mount Sinai the third time. I have seen that rock a jillion times. I'm the one who made the mistake. How can I ask you to bless us? It is my fault. My fault. I'm sorry to even bother you. I'll go work it out. I'll go see the deacons, or I'll go see the operating council. I'll go meet with the teacher. We'll get this straightened out, Lord. Don't you even bother about it. Don't you worry. You go do something else. We'll solve it. Because I got myself into this thing, I'll get myself out. I mean, I have done that so many times, and maybe you have about things in your own life. Lord, I'm so embarrassed about this. It was my big mouth that got me into it. It was my lack of good stewardship. It was my poor financial planning. It was my bad attitude that got me into this. It was my intemperance that caused all of this. And so, Lord, since I got myself into it, I guess you expect me to get out of it. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. The whole beauty of God's redemption plan is that God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. If we could do it for ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus dying on the cross, you see? And so God's blessing is not limited by the cause of your need. And let me say another thing here. God's blessing is not limited by the human resources available. Boy, that's an important one. God's blessing is not limited by the human resources available. Now, you know, it's amazing to me that we seem to think that God is limited to what we can see. That God is limited to what we can see. Let me tell you how the average church prepares its budget. I mean, I have been there, folks. Now, fortunately, we don't prepare ours this way. We just throw darts at a board and see who can get the biggest score. No, that's... Here is how the average church prepares its budget. A group of people get together and somebody says, what did we get last year? And we don't know whether they're talking about the take, which is the offering, or the haul, which is the designated and the undesignated. I don't know what they're talking about. And what did we get last year? Well, we got this amount. Well, we're probably going to get about 5% more next year, aren't we? Yeah? Okay, well, add that up. That ought to be our budget. All right, let's figure out how we're going to spend it. Well, we only had $100 on the flower fund, and we didn't spend but $75. Let's cut the flower fund back to $75. You know, that's the way church, you know, most churches prepare their budget. They start out by deciding what they think they can do. Now, back about a few years ago, anyway, we discovered that that's not the way to plan a budget. That the issue is what God wants to do, not what we think we can do. Because, you see, God's got all the money he needs to do what he wants to do. Right? Everybody's saying, right, right. Well, then how come you're always running out of money? Huh? It means that you and I are not always doing things God wants us to do, right? Right. Okay? Or it means that we're not being obedient. We're not seeing what God wants to do as our priority. We're seeing what we want to do as being more important than what God wants to do. Right? Right. You see? And so, you know, people have a tendency to believe, well, God has got to work with what's available. God can perform a miracle as long as he does it within the limits of my bank account. Or, you know, God's miracles are limited to the top line on my Visa card. God's miracles are limited to whatever Sears will let me charge. I mean, God can perform miracles within that. That's what the average person says, you know. God's miracles are limited to what, on the outside, some distant relative that might, you know, pour in some amount of money or something like that, you see. Hey, folks, God's blessings are not limited by anything that you see. They're not limited by anything that you see. The treasures of God are far beyond what is in this world. And so his blessings are not limited by what you see. Now, what were the human resources available? Now, here's 13,000 people. Five loaves and two fish. Five loaves and two fish. Now, if you were praying for a miracle, how would you have prayed about that? Let's get our intercessory prayer ministry folks involved in this. We need a miracle. What do you need? Well, we need to feed 13,000 people. I'm just the first one to call you. Well, okay, how much of that food we got? Well, we got five loaves and two fish. Ooh, my goodness, we've got a problem. Well, why? Well, that's not enough. We can't feed 13,000 people with that. Well, you know, I believe you're right about that. We just need to pray for a miracle from God. Well, do we have money to buy more loaves and fish? No. Well, hey, I think you're stupid praying for a miracle. That's dumb. I think you ought to just send them home. I mean, we don't have the money, right? I mean, let's just face the facts. Let's just send them home. We can't afford it. Let's just send them home. I mean, let's be realistic about God. We cannot afford this. Let's send them home, right? I mean, that's logical. That makes sense. It's about time we got down to business around here. Let's send them home. I mean, enough is enough. We've been in a TV ministry. We have been involved in a school. Our resources are drained. Now, you know, you come along with this promotion, Brother Ruffin. You've got 13,000 kids, five loaves and two fish. You're going to have to be realistic. Send them home. God's blessings are not limited by the resources available. Because God is the resource. Okay, now how do you get to it? How do you get to God's blessings? I want to share with you three things you need to do. And they're all contained in this one verse, verse 19. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. Number one, he assessed the situation. He assessed the situation. Notice what he did. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Now, what was he doing? Elsewhere in the scripture, we're told that he divided them up, 50s, 100s. You know why he did this? So they would know precisely what they needed. Now, I'd say that one of the reasons God doesn't do a thing, a lot of neat things in our lives, personally, corporately as a church, is that many times we don't keep good enough tabs on what precisely is needed so that we would know He was blessing us when He blessed us. Hey, getting the exact amount you need is as much as a blessing as getting more than you need. You ever occurred to you? I mean, what did they do with those the 13 baskets full or 12 baskets full left over? They couldn't eat them. They had everything they needed. Why did Jesus do this? You know, people are always getting on to me. They're saying, well, you folks are always interested in counting heads up there. Sure I am. I mean, if one whole book of the Bible is given over to numbers, I don't think we ought to be unbiblical about what happens around our church. We ought to know what's going on. And you look through the Scripture, you always find, well, how many people were saved on Pentecost? Somebody tell me. 3,000, right, 3,000. Some of you need to read the book of Acts. How many were saved about 2 weeks later? 5,000, right? How many people were here? How many men were here? 5,000, right. How many disciples were there? 12, right. You know, the whole, you can go in the Old Testament and find out how many are in the tribe of Manasseh and all that other stuff. You can get all that stuff, you see, because the Bible keeps very accurate tabs. Now, one thing I've been impressed when I read the biographies of these great men of prayer is they always knew exactly the state of their affairs, and they prayed in specifics. If they needed $10.35, they did not ask for $11. They asked for $10.35. The blessing was that God provided their need, not that God gives them more than they need, but that God provided their need, you see. Several years ago, my wife and I were... It's been about a year ago, I guess, now. We became really impressed with this fact. And God had brought us to several times to save a certain amount of money to do something we thought we were going to do, and then to give it away to somebody right before we got to do it. And we had just come through one of those kind of situations, and we'd given it away like on a Saturday, Friday or Saturday. No big deal. It's just a matter of being to the Lord. And so then we had a need, and I mean we had a need. And we needed... I'm gonna say this because this is about what it is, but it'll work for the illustration. We needed like $215.35. I mean, that was our need. We had determined that we were going to know how to pray specifically about what we needed. Most of us are so sloppy in our prayers. So we began praying. $215.35. And I think those were the figures. Well, I knew that God couldn't do that. I didn't think, because I had nothing, you know, coming my way. It was not time, you know. Nobody had died, and any relatives of mine, and if any of mine died, I would have to pay for the funeral, probably. I don't know. So, you know, I wasn't looking for anything like that. So, you know, and the only thing, I was going to be out of town all day. You know where I was going? I was going all the way from here to way past Lawton, Oklahoma. That's the other side of nowhere. I mean, it's so flat out there, even the choir sings flat. It is way, way out there. Into a little, there's a small town out there to speak and get this, boy, this is to speak at an M night in an associational rally. Okay? Now, I don't know if you know anything about speaking things like that, but when you speak at M night, folks, they do not take up love offerings. And nobody ever gets their feelings hurt if the evangelist got too much or anything like that, because nothing, you know, if you get your gas, that's a good thing. And so, we were praying specifically. Here it was Monday. I was going to come back Tuesday. It was due Tuesday, $215.35. We had a specific need, something that needed to be taken care of right then. Well, I got down there and to preach that night and had driven all day long, you know. And so I wasn't here to check the mail or, you know, figure out that it was left in the bureau drawer or something like that. And so, lo and behold, the place was just filled, which meant there were about 200 people there, I guess. And, boy, the Lord just moved in on that meeting, and God just started shaking people up. Some folks got saved, and after it was over, some guy stood up. The pastors were standing. They were just testifying. I couldn't believe it. And one of them said, well, I think we ought to take a love offering. And in my heart, I was saying, now, there is a good idea. If I ever heard a good idea, that guy is really in tune with the Lord. Man. And so they did. While they were taking love offering, I sat down and led a girl of the Lord. It was just so neat the way everything was working. But we were praying specifically, $215.35. After it was all over, everybody was gone, cold, wintry night, I looked at the check, and it was $185.35. Well, I knew that God was into the situation, because that was just too exact for God not to be involved in the situation. I also knew that either somebody there had missed God, or I didn't need what I thought I needed, or the rest of it was someplace else. But I was excited at this point. Well, I came back on Tuesday. On my desk was enough, actually more than enough, to fit the bill for what we were needing to pay. You see, God had just taught us the importance of assessing the situation and praying specifically. You know why? If you don't pray specifically, you'll never know whether you get a blessing or not. You'll never know whether you get a blessing or not. You never know where you are, you see. And you ought to look well to the state of your flocks, the Scripture says. Know the situation. Man, I tell you, when they got to offering those sacrifices, he offered so many bulls and so many rams, I mean, they knew. And when they came into the tabernacle to bring the gifts, they brought in so many bulls and so many rams and so many goats. They knew specifically to the coin where things stood. All right, assess the situation, number one. Number two, and it could be you need to go home right now. You've been praying, Lord, if you just give me $5,000, that'd bail me out of my financial woes. If you'd sit down and add up everything you owe, you may have been asking for about $2,000 too little. You may be in over your head farther than you thought you were, or you may be not nearly at that point. Let's say, just talking in terms of material things. You may not be nearly in as much need as you think you are, but you need to know where you are so that when God moves, you can move with Him. And by the way, something else that I have discovered is that when people keep good books, when they assess the situation, know whether it's for an individual, whether it's material, we've been talking about material things right here, but when people keep good books on things like this, they have a tendency to give that which comes their way to that need. See, if you're praying for $5,000 and 3 cents, and somebody comes along and gives you 3 cents, and you weren't praying for $5,000 and 3 cents, you'd probably just stick it in your pocket and buy bubble gum with it. But when you're praying for $5,000 and 3 cents and somebody gives you 3 cents, you say, all right, now that's the first 3 cents of the Lord's answer to my prayer, you see. And so you don't end up saying, well, that won't amount to anything. What I'm wanting is $5,000 and 3 cents. You see, we need to assess the situation. So that's the first thing that the Lord did. He said, have them sit down. By the way, when they were over, when the story got out, were there people standing around talking and said, man, there must have been 50,000 there. And somebody said, no, I don't think there's about 1,000 people there. It's such a big crowd. I imagine about 1,000. He probably fed 1,000 people. No question about that. Everybody, including you and I, know the extent of the miracle, right? Because he was very clear. Had them sit down in groups so they knew precisely how many people were there. All right, first thing, assess the situation. Second thing, get a vision of God's will, a Bible promise. That would be for you and me. Get a vision of God's will. All right, here's my need. In the context of my need, what is God saying? Notice, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He knew how much he had for how many people. And looking up to heaven, frequently in the Bible, Jesus has said to have looked up in heaven. He was doing what you and I do when we look into the Word. He was getting a vision of God's will. God, what is your will about this situation? How do you want me to behave? You know what God the Father said to Jesus when he looked up? He said, I want you to start feeding those people with those loaves and fish. Boy, can't you imagine that? All right. You got any fish helper? I need something. How do I do this? How am I going to handle this, you know? Well, he got a vision of God's will, looking up. All right, and then look at what he did. He acted in obedience. What do we say? Faith is acting on the revealed will of God. Notice he blessed and broke and gave. He just started doing it. He didn't do a little bit over in the corner and say, let's see if this works. Let's see. Break. Well, it's not reproducing. I don't know how. He didn't do it like that. He just right out here openly in front of everybody said, all right, here's some for you. Here's some for you. Here's some for you. Here's some for you. And just openly acted in obedience to the Lord's will. Now, that's how to get a blessing. I know you have prayed for a blessing before. I wonder if you've gotten it. We've all been blessed, have we not? I think most of us have been blessed accidentally rather than on purpose. And I'm just saying to you as we close today that you need to be involved in praying that God would bless. I hope you're praying that God will bless your preacher as he preaches. That he'll bless the invitation time. That by a sovereign act of God's will, he will cause something to happen supernaturally, which cannot be naturally explained. Just It just couldn't happen. I hope you'll pray that God will bless the offering, and know that I'm praying God will bless your home, and God will bless those missionaries, and even bless all those whom it's our honor, duty, and privilege to pray for, whoever they are, that God will just bless those folks. And when we get the blessing of God, folks, the rest of the world will have to sit back and say, I cannot explain it. Only God could do it. And nothing is worth so much as that, is it?